Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our reaction slash tactical debrief of Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 1. This episode is brought to you by SofaScore, the quickest live score app at your fingertips during a game. You can also take a look at all of the stats, graphics, players' average positions, player data that you'll see on this episode today. So you can either scan the code that's on the screen or you can click the link that's in the description to our video to download it for free, and it helps this channel out massively. Right, so everyone, smash a like on this episode, subscribe to the channel if you are new, and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. So let's go. Man City 4, Aston Villa 1. What are my overriding thoughts? Like all of you, when the team sheet came out, I was not expecting what I saw. So Pau Torres rested, Bailey rested, Tielemans rested. So big starters for Villa rested, and in came Longley, Tielemans. We'd got Rodgers starting, we'd got Diaby starting, we'd got Zaniolo starting. So a changed lineup from Villa. Moreno was out and then Luke Dean was in. So it was a lot different to what I expected. And then, when I was in the concourse, we had it on our phones and it sort of came out that Olsen was starting and Martinez was ill. And then it added to a little bit more of the, this is a bit random. And then you go and have a look at Man City's lineup and there's no De Bruyne, there's no Haaland. And you're thinking, this is going to be crazy, this is. So with those changes, I felt like first half, we were very, very good. Like, really good first half. You know, you got to look at who we're coming up against. Man City at home, it was going to be different to the Man City that we saw at Villa Park because they're at home, etc. They're coming off the back of that disappointing result for them against Arsenal. But I thought Villa were brilliant first half. I thought we were expressive. I thought we were brave. I thought the game plan worked. And I thought the game plan worked to treat in the first half. And in the second half, it worked a bit as well. You know, you could see what we were going to try and do. We were going to try and catch them on transition. We're going to try and catch them and leave them isolated at the back. That 2v2 that I spoke about. And I felt like we had those moments, didn't we? So the overriding players in the first half that really impressed me was Tim Iribunim. You know, I've been calling for Iribunim to start a lot of games since McGinn was out. And Emery was reluctant to do it. But, you know, he played him in a game that I really didn't expect him to play. I thought maybe, okay, you might see him against Wolves or you might see him against West Ham. And, you know, that's a game where not as difficult as Man City. But, no, he's like, right, you're playing against Man City, best team in the world. Let's see what you're all about. And I felt like he was really, really good. I felt like he looked mature in there, which was good. I think he didn't look like he didn't belong there. So for Tim Iribunim, I thought was brilliant. Rodgers, first half, I thought was good as well. I thought we saw his running power. We saw it especially for the goal that Villa scored. I thought Rodgers was good. And I thought we saw periods of Zaniolo of what, again, what we can sort of expect from Zaniolo, little bright sparks and then sparks that aren't so great. So going forward, first off, I thought we were good. Diaby looked expressive, but I felt like Diaby was better in the second half. So those cluster of players, I felt like they did well. And I think one of the biggest overriding things I'm going to say, and yes, we've lost, and yes, we didn't play our full strength team, but there's an identity there, that there's a way of wanting to play. And that was really pleasing for me. And I've spoke about this season, and I've spoke about when I go on the overlap and I say, we're not the finished article, we're going to get better. And I can really see that. I can really see that there's a shining light in the distance of, yeah, we've done amazing this season. But I can see that we are going to get better. And even though we lost, we went there and tried to play football. We tried to play possession-based football out from the back. And that's what I'm talking about. Those glimpses and that style of how we played. Yeah, we got done. We lost. But the overriding factor for me is we didn't go there and just defend. We went there with a plan. We went there to still play our possession-based football. We didn't just keep launching it and going long and long and long. We mixed it up at times. We had our moments in that game. So overall, I was pretty happy with the way in which certain players played and parts of the performance. And I think, yeah, we've lost 4-1 and I'm all right with it. So I'm just going to read a quote that I've got here. I'm going to read this quote from Unai Emery talking about the changes that he made to the team. So he spoke about, let me just find this quote for you. So Emery spoke after the game and he said, "We have to keep players confident and practicing. We will have a lot of games in the coming weeks. We were preparing to win, but we were thinking about getting practice for some players." So basically, he used it as a training game. We used Man City away as a training game to check out players, to have a look, to have a feel, to see how they're doing in the moments where it probably can't get more difficult, can it? Where you have to suffer, where you don't have none of the ball. So in that instance, Ira Burnham passed that test for me. If you're good enough, play him. And if you don't play him, you're never going to know. So Ira Burnham, for me, I was really, really pleased with his performance. Rodgers, I thought we saw signs again of a good player there. And John Duran, he's a finisher. Duran is a finisher. It was a hard game for Duran. And, you know, it can be an isolated figure up top against Man City. But he worked hard. He put himself about. And when he had that chance, he put it away. And fair play to Duran. You know, in Watkins's absence, Duran's a good striker. So we've got no problems, in my opinion, at times, if Watkins is ever out in the future. Because Duran played a really mature performance. We've seen him with his like theatrics and he's losing of ill discipline. But against Man City, there was none of that. It was a real professional performance from Duran. And I thought he was really, really good. So we'll talk about the goals and then we'll have a look at some of the stats as well. And so first goal, Man City, Foden drives forward. Doku, cutback, Rodri, too easy. Far too easy. We allowed Foden too much time on the ball in that instance. And then our goal, you know, the power of the three of Zaniolo, Rodgers and Duran worked an absolute treat. Rodgers in an advanced position, you know, driving forward a little bit. Great give and go from Duran to Rodgers. The Rodgers vision to Duran and that absolutely fantastic, fantastic goal. And then first half, you know, we were really putting ourselves about. It was really, really competitive, wasn't it, the first half? And I was really happy with what I was seeing in the first half. So we go to SofaScore and we'll have a look at the first half stats then. So first half, 65% possession for Man City, 35% for Villa, 10 shots for Man City, 5 on target, 3 shots for Villa, 1 on target. First half, they had 2 big chances and they missed 2 and we had 1 big chance. We had 181 passes, 86% passing accuracy for Villa and Man City were 335 and 91% passing accuracy. So those are some of the stats from the first half. We'd already gave away a free kick at the edge of the box and Alvarez fired over. But one thing you can't do against Man City is keep giving them dead ball opportunities and not thinking that they're not going to put it away because they've got that much quality. Douglas Luiz, just before half-time, a free kick, dawdling with the ball, gives away a free kick. Foden snatches it away and the wall. Zaniolo moves out the way of the wall and Olsen rooted to his spot. So it was so frustrating to go in 2-1 down because, you know, if we'd have gone in at 1-1, we still might have lost anyway. But, you know, we needed to go in at 1-1. And when we didn't, you're thinking, you know, big problems now. So then we came out second half and they had a little bit of the ball against us. And we still had our moments, didn't we? We had that breakaway with Diaby and the shot from Douglas Luiz. That was our big moment in the second half. And we really needed to put it away. But I thought Diaby had a fantastic second half. He was such a live wire and such a threat. And I just thought he was fantastic. And then the Foden second goal, Rodri just runs straight through us. And Diaby was weak in his challenge. And then it sort of fell to Foden, stuck it away. And then Foden's fourth goal is unbelievable. And Foden was amazing. What a player he is. So good for Man City. Man City were dominant. But I think the overriding thing from it was they're so strong. And I just felt like, and I've got to look at, how Villa can improve. We were a little bit weak, I thought. We were a little bit weak in the challenge and we were a little bit weak in the tackle. And I think that was where Man City were able to dominate us. We didn't have John McGinn and Boubacar Kamara to give us that strength and that muscle in our spine. It just felt like the ref didn't help with some of the fouls that we had, and he waved play on for them. That didn't help. But I just felt like in the tackle, we were weak. In the challenge, we were weak. We weren't winning the second balls. And when they start swamping and smothering you and you're losing your little jewels, you've got big problems. And that's what we had. So if I take a look at the second half stats then, so we'll have a look at the second half stats now. And then we'll go to the tactical pad. So second half, pretty much similar. 69% for Man City, 31% possession for Villa. 15 shots for Man City in the second half, 5 for Villa. And then the passing stats, 366 for Man City, 156 for Aston Villa. Accuracy of 87 for Villa and 93 for Man City. So what I'm talking about is that territorial dominance and losing those big duels just pushed Man City further forward and meant that Villa were camped in quite a lot. But I felt like our defence was pretty okay, to be fair. I think the passing stats from our defenders were good. So that was basically it, really. So if we go to the tactical pad and have a look at what Villa's game plan was so we can get a visual on that. The Villa game plan was to defend the red zone. So by defending the red zone, so the red zone is this. So if I'll make it red, let's be professional. So the red zone for Villa would be here. So you're defending the width of your 18-yard box. And what that means is Villa are really comfortable if the ball goes out to here or it goes out to here. You know, when I was watching the game from where I was sitting in the Etihad, I felt very, very calm and I felt like there was no danger. And this is mad. When Jack Grealish picked up the ball and when Doku picked up the ball, because I knew we were just defending this red zone, this middle zone in the 18-yard box. So that for me was okay. And it was all about Villa hitting Man City on a transition with these players here. And at times we did it. You know, the game plan worked. You know, Diaby was electric at times. He got 1v1. But the only thing I would say is in these moments, your decision-making has to be bang on. There can be no hesitation. And what I found a couple of times was there was that sense of hesitation. There was a time when Diaby was 1v1 with Guardiola, and I was like, just bomb it down there. Literally, bomb it down there and pace him. But we sort of allowed them to get back. And Man City are a great team. Like, second half, you could see that when they hunt in that pack, you know, when they hunt and they dominate you, that they're fantastic at it. But when they are vulnerable and when you are getting them in a 3v3 or a 2v2 or you've got him down here, you got to burn them, because what you can't allow is for the ball to come back inside and all these players now get set and you just get dominated. So and the same goes for, say, Zaniolo and Rodgers. We got into some good positions, but either decision-making or timing just wasn't quite right. You've got to think quickly. You've got to act quickly against Man City. You know, maybe that's a bit harsh, but that's just the reality of where we were at when we were playing against Man City. So anyway, Conte, fantastic in that 1v1 with Grealish. Grealish never had a sniff. Carlos, I thought, was strong. Longley was good. Luke Dean was okay. Zaniolo was okay. Luis put himself about a bit. Interestingly, if he gets a yellow against Brentford, he misses two games. But if he doesn't get a yellow against Brentford, he doesn't miss two games because the yellow cards get sort of took away. So that's a little bit from the tactical pad that I noticed anyway. If we have a little look at the passing networks then. So we've got Man City's passing network now. So as you can see, a lot of lines, a lot of triangles, a lot of intricate work, a lot of domination. And then you've got Villa's passing network. You know, not too many lines. So that obviously shows you that we've not got on the ball as much as what we normally would. But you can see the outlet with Longley. So I thought Longley's passing accuracy was brilliant. I thought his passing range was good. You can see those balls into Duran, Luis. You can see into Luke Dean as well. So not the best, but obviously we're up against Man City. We've been heavily, heavily pressed. So, you know, it's not gonna look absolutely amazing. So we have a little look now at the average positions for Aston Villa, and you can see that you've got Timo Ibrahimovic in that double pivot in that holding role. We've got Moussa Diaby offering the width out wide. We've got Zaniolo on that left-hand side. Rodgers, who has quite a lot of touches, to be fair. And then we've got Duran's heat map as well. Man City, a lot of domination from them. Foden, everywhere across that front line, had a really, really good game. Now, this is interesting that I want to show you now. So I'm going to show you the Villa passing stats now and the accuracy and the numbers. So, you know, you can get all this at your fingertips with SofaScore. Olsen, I thought, was good. A lot of saves. Didn't really put a foot wrong. And his big criticism of me has been his passing. And I actually felt like his passing was okay. 73%. So you want that higher. But overall, pretty decent. Longley, passing, 93%. Rodgers, 88%. Diaby, 67%. You're going to get a creative play at Conte, 97%. Luis, 88%. We've got Carlos, 90%. Ibrahimovic, 86%. Luke Dean, 87%. Zaniolo, 85%. So our passing stats weren't that bad against Man City. Where I feel like we lost it, the battle, was the duels. I spoke about the duels, didn't I? So let's have a look at some of the duels then. So we've got Duran won 3 of his 10. Longley, 3 of his 5. Rodgers, 2 of his 9. Diaby, 4 of his 10. Conte, 4 of his 5. Luis, 2 of his 6. Bailey, 2 of his 9. Carlos, 4 of his 5. Ibrahimovic, 4 of his 10. So 4 of his 10, that could be slightly better, I think. We've got Zaniolo, 3 of his 10. You know, so we weren't winning the duels. And I think we needed to win those duels for us to win those second balls and get that sort of bit more territory in the game. So, yeah, we can see the momentum bar here as well. So that's SofaScore. You can have it at your fingertips. Download it for free. Have I gone through everything? I think I've gone through pretty much everything that I've thought about talking about. Anyway, right, cool. So, yeah. Frustrated, move on. Big game on Saturday now. So we've got Pau to come back in the team, see where Watkins is, where he's at. I think Emery spoke after the game about he's going to have a look at him and see where he is and see what the situation is when he trains. Maybe Ramsey might be back. Martinez was ill, so hopefully he's going to be back as well. I think Emery after the game said he might be back as well anyway. So all in all, disappointing. We're still fourth. We're 2 points above Spurs. They've got a game in hand, which they've got to win. So, and I think that game in hand is against Man City anyway. So we've just got to keep going now. Let me know your thoughts, what you made of it. Were you surprised with the changes? Did it annoy you? I imagine that the changes might have annoyed some people, which is understandable, I guess, because no one wants to have a weakened team. But I think he's looked at it and thought, you know, I need to play some of these players. What game can I play them in? And he's picked this one. So, yeah, so good day. I had a good day in Manchester. Now we'll turn our attention to Brentford. So Villa fans, if you are new, make sure you are subscribing, smash a like, and we'll be back tomorrow with our match preview ahead of the Brentford game. Up the Villa.